Well, what a special opportunity we've been given today. How about a special shout out to the Stefanin family, the Silver Lake driving staff, and the Charcoal Corral. And also, I'd like to thank Kayla Green from Channel 8 News, who allowed us to get the name of Jesus Christ on the news. We want to thank you for your cooperation while you stay in your vehicle so that we can have these services up here. It's been an amazing experience, and we're very thankful to be able to bring forth a message of great peace and great hope in our turbulent times. So, Father, we ask the blessing of your word into each one of our hearts, and that your spirit would meet with us where each one of us are at in our lives, and that you would get all the glory here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You could take your Bibles and open to Matthew 25 with me, or 28 with me, please. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord laid." The tomb was opened not so Jesus Christ could get out of it, so today that we could come in to inside of it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most monumental message of hope that this world has ever received. The message has not gone away. It resonates its living truth into all generations. I stand before you today with a heart, a mind, and a soul that is saturated with hope, because approximately 1988 years ago, approximately 5,775 miles from here, Jesus Christ conquered the grave. He defeated death, and he gave Joseph of Arimathea his tomb back that he only needed to borrow for 3 days. You know, I hope you took time this week to reflect upon Passion Week, Holy Week, if you want to call it. But it was a time where Jesus rode into Jerusalem, where Jesus would take his beating, his scourging, where he would be crucified for our sins, and where he would die on a cross and raise again the third day. But I want to reflect on something Jesus said, and I want to reflect on something Jesus didn't say. The last words that Jesus Christ said on the cross were, "It is finished." He did not say, "I am finished." Those last words were not uttered in defeat, but they were a claim to great victory. That word means tetelestai, paid in full. It was a receipt given for a debt that was paid for the purchase of something. The bloody body of Christ on the cross is the receipt that the debt of our sin has been paid so that we can become the possession of God. And the cross of Jesus Christ is the exclamation point of God's love. God wants you to know today that he loves you, and he couldn't have demonstrated it to a deeper degree than he did with allowing his son to die on the cross for our sins. Today is a day that we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that our Bible did not end at Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, or John 19. Our Bible didn't end there. Our Bible, all four writers' account of the resurrection, Matthew 18, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 and 21. As much as the cross was the exclamation point of God's love, the empty tomb is the exclamation point that God is a God of hope, and He's a God of life, and He's a God of chances and second chances. If Jesus Christ didn't rise again, we would be the craziest people to listen to anything that He had to say. But if He did raise again, then we would be crazy not to listen to everything that He had to say. Those who physically experienced the resurrection of Christ. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, he told the corrupt religious establishment, he said, "You killed the Prince of Life," or the author of life. He said, "You killed him. But God has raised him from the dead." And Peter said, "And we are his witnesses." Peter and the other apostles who physically saw with their eyes the risen Christ were willing to validate, were willing to attest to resurrection validity with their own lives and their own blood as they suffered greatly to proclaim a risen Lord publicly. All they had to do was to deny Christ, to deny the fact that He was risen from the dead. But instead of doing that, they chose the truth because they experienced Him face to face, and their lives and their martyrdom testify to us that Jesus Christ left behind an empty tomb. We go from historical event to personal experience. The greatest king of Israel, King David, wrote about the living God that he walked with while he was on this earth. And what 1 Corinthians 13 is to a wedding, Psalm 23 is to a funeral. But this was not written by David for his funeral. This was written by David as a praise of comfort and hope for something that he could hold on to his whole life. David told us, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." The presence of Almighty God was something that got David through the most difficult of his days. He enjoyed that truth when things were good, and he enjoyed that truth when things were bad, when things were easy, when things were hard, when there was life and when there was death. He enjoyed the truth of God's presence in his life. But it wasn't just the presence of God that got him through it. It was the promises of God that laid before him, the promises that this living God gave to him. He said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And then he says this, "Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus Christ went to a cross. Jesus Christ went to an empty tomb so that we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a resurrection fact that God wants us all to rejoice in today. Our life doesn't have to be a solo mission. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never, it means certainly not, by no means, leave, which means I will never give up on you. I will be there to uphold you, and I'm not going to let you sink, and I will not forsake you. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I will not abandon you, and I won't leave you behind. Other people might do that to you. Jesus says, I never will. I will always be there for you. If you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. This is the same account given by Mark. Mark's view of the resurrection as brought by the influence of Peter as he mentored Mark. And he says the same thing from a different angle. He says in verse 5 that they entered into the sepulcher. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. You see, if you don't know the account, the last experience that Peter had with Jesus was that he repeatedly denied him. But the angel was given instruction to make sure that the apostles knew that he rose again and to make sure that Peter knew. Because Jesus doesn't want our failures to turn to our fatalities. It's never too late with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you that if you're here today and maybe you've denied the Lord for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, or 80 years, you've denied him his rightful position as the Lord and Savior of your life. He wants you to know today that he's alive and you need him and he's pursuing you and he loves you and he wants you. In the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. This was an individual that hated Christ. He hated Christians. This individual brought much affliction and much pain to God's people. His heart was full of hatred. But he encountered a resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road. And that Jesus took this man from a man who was full of hate and vengeance and bitterness and turned him into a man of kindness and love. And a God-honoring individual. That's what God can do. You might have snuck in here today because this is a low-profile church service. And maybe you know that there's things in your heart that you just don't want there, but you have no control over it. And maybe because it's Easter morning, there's something that you're a little sentimental about, and you thought maybe you'd come out and hear what is spoken here at this Silver Lake Drive-In church service. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you and he can melt your heart and he can make you the person that he wanted you to be from the foundation of the world. He did it with Saul of Tarsus and you better believe that he can do it with you because he loves you. No matter what condition your heart's in today, it's no match for the love of God. It's no match for the redemption of Jesus Christ. He can do anything and everything in and through your life. We find the disciples at this time, they were told repeatedly by Jesus Christ that, look it, I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. He says, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But what we find taking place is that after everything like that happened, that we don't seem to be any hope. We don't see any hope in the disciples. We don't see any anticipation. We don't see any expectation or comfort. We see fear, grief, sorrow, and all these things overrode Christ's truth. Fear and despair are assassins to faith, but faith is an assassin to fear and despair. I want to encourage you today, don't ever let the circumstances of your life supersede the scriptures that God has planted in your heart. Learn from the disciples. If we were wise disciples, we should have set up camp right outside of that tomb, and we should have had a party awaiting for our Lord to come forth because he said he was going to raise again. We should have been overridden with hope and anticipation. But I believe today that we need to learn from the disciples. If we are Jesus' disciples, that we have been told some special things too by him. We've been told by him that he is going to return for his church very soon and take us into his kingdom. And we cannot allow ourselves to lose sight of that truth because of the circumstances that we're currently facing. That truth was designed to override all and every one of the circumstances that we're facing. The resurrected Christ is here today. And as we honor his name, the Bible says, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. A lot of us might not believe that to be true today because we can't see it with our eye, but just because we can't see it with our eye doesn't mean that it's true. Today, you might be watching the news feed through your 4G waves, or you might be listening to the radio on 106.3 FM from the radio waves. You can't see the internet 4G waves. You can't see the radio waves. But nevertheless, we can see the effect of what's invisible. And I'm here to tell you the lives that Jesus Christ has changed in this drive-in is a visible proof that Jesus Christ is here today. Christ said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But then he puts a question there. Believest thou this? Do you believe that today? I heard a story about belief, that a tightrope was stretched across Niagara Falls, a guy wire, and a man got out on one side and he walked around the guy wire. He asked everybody, do you believe I can walk this guy wire? And everybody's like, yeah, we believe you can do it, son. To shed his blood and to die for my sins. I believe and celebrate today that he rose again on the third day. I put all my faith in that truth. I know I'm a sinner, and I choose to turn away from my sin today and to turn to you. And by faith, I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my heart. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Step into my life. I choose to give you control. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. I acknowledge April 12th, 2020 is my spiritual birthday. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that's you today, unfortunately, Amazon's running a little bit behind in their delivery as we've ordered a bunch of Bibles, but we do have some Bibles. So if you do not have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, we would be happy to give you a Bible when you leave here today. Christ loves you. Please take a Bible and allow that Bible and the truths that are spoken in it to triumph over any circumstance, to supersede any situation that you're facing. Because Jesus Christ said, His word is the truth. I want to encourage you today that I heard a great statement made on Friday. This statement sums it up very well, I believe. On this Good Friday, Christians from all around the world remember the suffering and the death upon the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At Easter Sunday, we will celebrate His glorious resurrection. Though we will not be able to gather with one another as we normally would on Easter, we can use this sacred time to focus on prayer, reflection, and growing in our personal relationship with God. I ask all Americans to pray that God will heal our nation, to bring comfort to those who are grieving, to give strength to the doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers, to restore health to the sick, and to renew the hope in every person who is suffering. That statement was not made behind a pulpit. That statement was made from the Oval Office. And when the White House is saying what God's house has been saying, there is great hope for the USA to come back to being one nation under God. Not the generic, all-encompassing. Not the generic, all-encompassing God that we have made in our image, but the authentic, true, living God, Jesus Christ, that made us in His image. To God be the glory.